snack. Welcome back to another episode of the Youth Ministry Booster Podcast, where I'm hanging out with my best friend,
Chad Higgins,
in the garage for another fun episode of youth ministry, right? We're talking about youth ministry?
Some days we talk about student ministry. By the way, we need to do this because I realized that we hadn't done it in a while. Oh. And now that we're on the new format of the YouTube, which, by the way,
welcome.
We have a lot of listeners on podcasts, not as many on YouTube yet, but we'll grow that.
Help us out a little bit.
Yeah. If you're tuning in for the first time on YouTube, you may not know who we are. So what do you do?
Okay,
who are you?
Yeah, that's fair. Okay.
Who is this guy?
Who is this guy? Hi, I'm Zach Workin. I serve as the Lifeway Student Ministry Student Specialist, where I talk about all things student ministry. The shortest answer is I'm a minister to youth ministers and a student of student ministry.
Wow.
That's pretty good, right? That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty quick. So Chad Higgins, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Chad Higgins. I'm the Parent Ministry Specialist for Lifeway.
Okay.
So I'm the
moms and dads.
Parent minister to parent ministers and the parents?
Okay.
I don't know.
It doesn't work that way.
I don't have a cool little slogan like you do, but basically Zach and I serve on the training team for Lifeway students. We basically have the best job in the world. We get to connect and care for youth pastors. Yeah. We've got a lot of things going on at Lifeway. Mm-hmm. Everything from curriculums, camps.
Resources.
I write a resource called Parent Partner. We'll talk a little bit maybe even about that today.
Conferences like The Experience, Essentials, this fall, The Escape, which we haven't talked about on this episode.
Yeah, but
all kinds of fun things for those that lead in student ministry and for the things that you need in student ministry.
So
Got all of that aside.
It was my birthday.
Hot take. It was your birthday. And by the way, I feel really proud. I just sent you the really innocuous, "Hey man, happy birthday" text. Which is the most honorific thing that I could do.
I appreciate that for myself. Yeah. So
it's what you wanted.
It is what I want. Like, I don't like the fanfare. It feels a little. So, okay, let's talk that out.
Okay.
At what age do birthday parties?
Become
like
different? Are you too old for a party? Ooh, define party.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay,
right?
I like having people over. Like I like parties of all kinds. I think some of it's the scale and the location.
So you're good birthday party no matter what.
Well, I mean, again, party, like, you know, for my birthday this year, we went to the lake with family and a few friends.
And you consider that a party?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, we hung
out.
See,
I feel like that's a gathering. That's different in my mind.
So define a party.
A party feels like someone has invited a bunch of people.
But they don't know each other?
Different.
If everybody knows each other, it's a gathering. It's a party if you're like, who are these other people?
Yeah, when you have people having to like have small talk conversations.
Yeah, you're like, oh, wow, how do you know the Kennedys? Yeah, cool. Ooh, we do.
It just, I feel like there are obviously milestones that are probably different.
Sure,
so
sure.
This is... I'll give it away. So next year will be 40 for me.
Oh, okay.
So that does feel a little bit different. And I feel
you
like
should commemorate that somehow.
There feels like an expectation for something. But like, and we didn't.
Just buying yourself a leather jacket and a motorcycle. If you came home with a leather jacket and a motorcycle, Martha would be over this.
So you have unlimited money.
Okay.
Not really.
What's the best midlife crisis you could buy?
Yes.
Is the answer helicopter? I mean,
you would have a helicopter?
Like, can't fly it, just thought I should have it. Yeah, helicopter.
Would go helicopter?
We said the budget was unlimited and it's the most midlife crisis thing.
Would you get your pilot's license?
I don't
think. Getting your pilot's license? That feels a little midlife.
Yeah, like if you're over 40 and you're like, I gotta fly now. I mean, I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Chase those dreams, man.
I'm probably I would get a classic car.
Okay.
I think that would be my midlife car.
Any particular crisis?
Because I don't want to get a helicopter.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like, that's a little
let's
bit
be honest.
That's not quite realistic.
We're flying sideways.
Yeah, it's actually not a fun ride. Yeah,
No. I don't need any part of the helicopter. Yeah. I just feel like a helicopter. I'm throwing your dream out the window.
It's okay.
You gotta have a helipad.
Well, I mean, you gotta know where one is. You gotta have a place to park it. Yeah, yeah. It's like owning a really expensive boat. Yeah.
It just seems so.
I mean, boat's probably the right midlife crisis answer because it like when you're on the boat, it's the right thing, and then you have the maintenance and the storage, and you're like, this is a really boats get really expensive in the off season.
I'm also thinking through myself with a helicopter, just with
you stuck on it, yeah.
Like current life situation.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like I live in a smaller town, so it's right. Like, what would I do with a helicopter?
You just fly up and come back.
I'm like, I'm going to Taco Bell.
Just coming into Tulsa, I have to pick you up. Yeah.
No, I would get like a classic car. I think that'd be rad.
Is there one in particular that you've got?
Money's no issue.
Money's
right,
no
on
issue.
This conversation.
Yeah, money's no issue. Yeah.
I'm probably going like 50 model ish Corvette.
Okay.
Like a 56 Corvette is so beautiful to me.
Just class. Red too.
Yellow, yeah, that, yeah, that red white classic.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Would be that'd be so cool.
Love it. So that's midlife crisis gifts. But parties though, at what age do parties run out? So we've already said it can't be a gathering where everybody knows each other. So it can't just be friendly and focus. A party is maybe some people that don't know each other, and then gift exchange. Is that another part of the
gift exchange?
The just gifts.
No,
of being
that's
exchange.
The worst. It's the worst. Okay, so you know me. We've had multiple conversations about this.
He hates it.
I hate getting gifts.
Never buy him a gift. The best gift is the non-gift, and I'll explain at the end of the episode what you actually need to buy Chad for his birthday. There actually is a financial thing you could do or contribute to, but we'll talk about it later.
I don't want anything from anybody.
I know you don't, but
because here's the deal: the birthday, it just feels like an obligation.
Yeah,
you give me because nobody's getting what they want. You know what I mean?
You're getting a lesser version of what
you're.
Yes,
are. That's exactly. Yeah, it's like, oh, he's into golf. Yeah. Here are some generic golf.
Here's
balls
a golf glove. Cool. Right. Four golf gloves. I could never have enough.
They're
thank you.
And at none of them are the brands
are like,
you like.
You'll get there eventually. Yeah. Yeah, nobody's buying you clubs. They love you.
Right.
And then it's like, well, now I've got to buy them clubs.
Yeah. It just feels like this exchange.
Yeah, the turnabout that never ends. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're truly my friend, like you're getting better at it.
Thank you. I sent him just a little bit of cash. That was it. In the Venmo. Yeah, loaded the Venmo up.
And
that
even
was
then,
it.
Well, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to keep that in my Venmo, and I'm just going to send it back to you on your birthday.
That's it. Just a holding company. It's a shell company for birthdays.
Really? Venmo's the only one winning here.
Yeah. They're like, cool, hold all your money. Yeah. And that's 35 cents every time. Yeah.
Correct. So I just feel like the birthday party. Okay, so.
But you love it for your kids, right? I mean,
100%.
From Leah, like you guys came to Gideon's. Like those are fun.
When you're a kid.
You're not anti-birthday.
No, not at all.
It has a fuse. It runs out.
Like if you're showing up to a 34-year-old dude's birthday party.
Okay.
And they're cutting
cake.
Funfetti cake. You know what I mean?
Man loves cake. I mean, if you love cake, hey, you love cake, you cut your cake.
That's so fine. Let me, like, surprise party. You anti for?
So that's, hold on, that's dangerous waters. Because I've planned many surprise parties for Karen. For Karen. So there were a couple notable ones. The one was the first birthday party.
Okay.
When we had moved to North Carolina and we had made some friends.
Okay.
And so I reached out. And so it was kind of special because we had some old friends that already lived there and some new friends that she had made. And we had just moved into our new townhouse for seminary, and so that she got to surprise her.
Yeah.
And so that was special, and it was the gifts. There was no like real like gift thing. It was more just like the surprise was the so like we went to dinner, we came back, we had friends over. So
see, I think I could get in on board with that. Yeah. I think really,
it literally was like dessert, coffee, hangout, go home.
Yeah.
No to do.
I think the thing that and we're sussing this out for me. This is helping me.
Open debate. Yeah.
I think the thing that I cringe at is the gift exchange.
Okay.
The idea that I would have to sit in a circle and open gifts of people that brought me.
Yeah.
See that. And pretend like I wanted.
Wow. Thank you. Well, that's one thing I will say. So, cultural shift. It seems like a lot of the birthdays we're going to now, again, having boys that are 5 and 7, there's literally a birthday every other weekend. Sometimes there's two-a-days, is that nobody opens gifts in front of each other anymore. Which makes me wonder, should we just stop giving gifts and just like fund the kids' party? Like, I don't know. Like, it's like we've been to 4 parties in the last 5 weeks.
And they're not opening the gifts?
Not in front of us. They take them home and they open them at home. So like,
so what do they do?
They put them all in the bin, and then they do the act. One party was a soccer party, the other party was like a playground party, and they put them all in like the wagon of the bin. They took them home, opened them later. That was it. That was the whole deal.
False. Yep. False. If you're hosting a kid's birthday party,
you open them.
You open them.
That's how you figure out which friends are better friends.
Correct. Wow.
Wow.
That's a $60 Lego set.
Ryland bought us the Switch game and not just the strategy guide. We like the Ryland. Sorry, this is from a different time. It's a $14.95 purchase.
What if you got the strategy guide to a game you don't own?
It's a chance. It's a chance you have to take. I mean, if he talks about Pokemon enough, we're hoping that somebody else bought it Pokemon. Yeah.
Once I would open it once I get this gift. I'm going to really know how to
really
play
tear into it. No, I said, I know where all the bosses in Zelda are, and I will win. Yeah. It's a thing. It's a thing.
Were you a Game Genie guy? Were you like a cheat codes guy?
Such a Game Genie and Game Shark guy, for those that know. Yeah.
Zach Workin, cheater of the video
games. No. Performance enhancing devices. We're here for the PEDs, the performing enhancing devices. Yeah, that gold cartridge on top of the other cartridge. Let's go, man.
That's just
stack them
video
up.
Game steroids.
Stack them up. That's right. I had the cheat controllers that had the rapid fire for all of the E Honda slaps and the fireballs. And I was here for it, man. At one point on Super Nintendo, we had the controller that this is pre-USB, pre-whatever. It had pre-programmed super moves for fighting games where you could like one button drag an uppercut. It was the coolest thing ever. It had like a little LCD readout screen.
My God.
And it had like 99 games in it, and you could like queue up what game you were playing, and then you could queue up what character it was. So you had to have like the little book that like Street Fighter 2 is game 7, Ryu is character 2, and then it's just one button. Hadoukens.
I'm pretty sure I'm playing against those dudes in Warzone.
So those are the Warzone guys right now. They've got actually like whole like, you know, digital controllers that are doing crazy stuff. But yeah, they're just one button, you man.
Wow.
They're just doing one buttons. Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, birthday parties, game enhancing things. I think one of the things that I love most about a birthday party though is trying to figure out who's the party for. So this is my jumping off point for some of our topic today. Is I think sometimes the birthday is 100% the kid, because it's okay, why are we here? Like, case in point, I won't name it, but there's a place in Tulsa that my boys have had multiple parties at. It's just like an inflatable store. Like, it is the business that every youth pastor with a side hustle should start. And it's just a Friday, Saturday, Sunday only. Mm-hmm. Storage house for inflatables that's run by like teenagers in brightly colored polos. Right. And there's party rooms where they order pizza. They don't even make it. They order it in, but it's just like, it's a pre-packaged deal for you.
Right.
And they love it. And it's like ratty old like inflatables that like we've seen all the, but because it feels exclusive, they love it. Versus like, if I was going to plan a party, we would go to, you know, Dave and Buster's or Incredible Pizza. Like, you know, like let's go to the party places, but they love it because it's like, moon bounce.
Yeah.
Just the six of us.
Right.
Because, you know, when you go to church and you're fighting for your turn,
right,
but to have like it feel exclusive.
Yeah. Unlimited obstacle course moon bounce.
Dude, it's the best.
When you're five, it's the best.
Like, I don't have to wait my turn on the slam dunk trampoline thing. Yeah. I'm in.
So. That is the equivalent to the adult just gathering birthday party.
It really is. Like, and that's, I'm sympathetic for my boys that are like, I just want to go there and I want to invite five friends. And I'm like,
done.
Cool.
Yeah.
Love it. We could invite more.
Best $200 you've ever spent.
That's it, man. That's all they wanted. Love so, it. Yeah. But we were talking about other kind of gatherings today. And so the gathering we wanted to focus on today was parent meetings. So this is the one that I think for a lot of folks, they have asked the question of, I had a parent meeting planned. It didn't go well.
Right.
How do I get parents there? How do I make sure that this meeting is different than other meetings? What do I start? Where do I go? So I'm gonna tee it up to you. And I got a few thoughts, but you'd kind of laid out pre-show where you wanted to go. And so for a really great parent meeting, Chad Higgins, we've all got to have them. I'll go ahead and stipulate, if you don't have parent meetings at some interval on your calendar, you're probably missing out in youth ministry. There needs to be some regular habit of trying to gather parents in the same room. But where do we start so it doesn't feel like, oh my gosh, we planned a thing and nobody came? How do we make this not the email equivalent of a meeting?
Yeah. So the first thing that I would say is there is probably an expectation that your parents have.
Okay.
Either from previous youth
You're
pastor,
up against something already.
Or your own stuff maybe in the past.
Okay.
And so if you've done parent
there meetings. There is no meeting zero. You're coming into it with somebody already having an idea of what it might be.
Okay. Or just like an assumed thought of what it will be, right? Yeah. Like
great, more information.
Yeah, because I think for a lot of parents, they're used to the like first of school, like class meeting.
Yep.
They're going to come in.
Night out. Right. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Like I remember for my daughter, we had to go to the library. There wasn't even enough seating for everyone.
Yeah.
I'm like leaning up against the nonfiction.
You holding know. The syllabus of like, okay, I guess.
Yeah. This
is, do we have questions? Yeah.
Exactly. And so it's just going to be like informational kind of things. And so I think that's a lot of times what parents are expecting.
Parent meeting means I'm going to read from a sheet to you.
Yeah. And it's just going to be the information, right? Like all of that kind of stuff. And so for a lot of parents who are already busy, and we can get mad about their busyness and all that kind of stuff, but the reality is they already feel stressed out. Enough is enough.
They've already done one of these, and it did not go well.
Yeah, and so
no offense to you, but the last one of these, not fun.
Correct, because it was just information, and most of the information that you shared in the parent meeting, if they read the emails, they already got it, and they knew that if it was important enough, it was already going to get to them.
Right.
And so them That's having true. To give up an hour to an hour and a half in one of their evenings when it's already enough, like you start to weigh that, like, is it worth it? And then you get, whether you like it or not, you get the like behind the scenes conversations of the mom and dad looking at each other going, okay, you go to this one, I'll take the kids to this.
We'll divvy up.
And it's just another thing on their schedule. And so the first thing that I would encourage us all to do, if you're wanting to have a parent meeting, is you need a hook. Okay.
Okay. Set the hook.
Set the hook. And so this isn't the bait and switch.
No.
Which is different.
Yeah.
This isn't the like, hey, come to this. And then we're still.
Whoops, we're all going to camp. Right. You owe me $300.
Yeah, we're still going to read off all of this stuff.
Yeah. So a legitimate hook, meaning let's break it down and make it plain. Something that's relevant and interesting and specific. Because when you talked about it earlier, one of the things that I noted is you should probably even give it the nice subtitle.
Yeah.
That it can't just be parent meeting August.
Right.
It needs to be parent meeting.
Yeah. Well, and I
how to survive bullies at school.
I would maybe even get away from even calling it a parent meeting.
Okay.
That's going to put
call it a seminar or call it a thing.
Yeah. Or whatever you're doing.
Parent party.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so my thing first.
Meet some people you don't know, exchange a gift.
Yeah. To know your hook, you have to know your purpose.
Okay.
And so I think a lot of times we just think informational and we just think serious when it comes to parents.
We're super content heavy. What am I going to say to them?
Yeah.
That's not where we start.
The reality is most of the parents inside of your church, specifically if they're not heavily plugged in, most of them are still looking for community.
Okay.
And so I think that that's one of the things it's overlooked a lot is we assume like their kid is plugged in, mom and dad's plugged in. That may not be true. We are serving families now today, and this is going to be even more true in the future when people our age now have middle school, high school students.
Yes.
We are a demographic that we had strong connections in our own children's
and
our
youth
own
programs.
And as we've gotten older, our friend group has gotten smaller and smaller. And so millennials our age are looking for connections, relationships inside of church.
And what a low-hanging fruit.
Correct.
Hey, we're all raising teenagers together and it's really difficult.
Yes.
That might fund a few good parties.
And so I think us coming into those meetings or whatever we want to call them with the idea of, hey, we want to help build connection.
Yeah.
There may already be some connection amongst some of the families. How do we continue to grow that? And so not being afraid to make a night that is fun for families.
Yeah.
Now, every meeting doesn't need to be that way.
Yeah.
But we would think through parent ministry in the same way that we would think through student ministry and not a one-off scale.
Okay.
We are not ministering to parents by one meeting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You cannot cover it all.
You can't.
Please stop trying to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so identifying throughout a year process.
Or even a few years.
Yeah.
Because that's the hope.
Maybe yours is simple. We're going to have one of these a quarter, right?
Sure.
So you're going to have four a year.
Yeah.
But you've got to think through, okay, if I'm going to have the very first one of these.
Yeah.
I want to make it memorable. Okay. I want to make it enjoyable. I want to make it fun. And so creating space that parents can get together, have a good time,
yeah,
understand what that looks like in your context. You may serve in a small community. People know each other. And so you can do the like, man, we're going to just have a meal together.
Yeah, bring potluck it. Dude, parent potluck. So fun.
Yeah. And for you, maybe it's just one big thing.
Yeah.
Hey, our goal here,
yeah,
is to have a community type event that, yeah, every parent walks away and goes, man, that was a good time.
Yeah.
And I felt like I took away something. Mm. So, and it may be as simple as, hey, over the next quarter, we want our families in our church to be more serious about being in God's word. That's all we're going to say about it.
Yeah.
There are reading guides as you leave.
Yep.
For you to take home.
Yeah.
Parents now have information from that.
Yeah.
They got to connect with other parents.
Yeah.
And one of the other big things, because you're trying to connect them to the next thing.
Yeah.
What do you want those parents to do? You want every one of those parents to be connected into one of your small groups in your church.
Where they are reading the scripture, boom, that we were hoping they would read. Yep.
And so out of that, here are the families that were there, which families are not connected to church. That is an easy follow-up for, yeah, you to continue to do from there. So you've identified the purpose. Your hook is maybe something like, you know, family dinner night, or maybe it is a serious topic.
Yeah.
Man, you've got a lot of parents that have already asked you about, how do we talk to our students about transgender,
yeah,
these kind of things. Yeah. And so your hook to that is, you know, informational gathering seminar
parent party. Is dating great?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So even for your example there, right, you've identified this party and dating and those kind of things. I think that one probably goes together, but not trying to do all of it at once.
Yeah.
If you understand that the topic that we're going to cover is serious,
yeah,
don't try to do both, right?
Yeah, that's good.
Like,
that's
you
good.
you don't want to take a serious conversation like transgender issue.
Yeah. And that's not the party night.
Right. Can you imagine that? Yeah, like, that, yeah, would feel so weird.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of times that's exactly what happens, though, when it's just an informational meeting and then we throw in the game. You're, yeah, trying to do everything.
Yeah.
You've got to look at parent ministry at a bigger scale and not just one night,
yeah,
to build out a plan throughout this entire thing.
You may have, and I think this, I guess, just to kind of rebuff for folks that are listening, there may be one that is a coffee talk symposium.
Yes.
You bring the speaker in, and it is a little more formal and serious. And one of your parent meetings may be a parent symposium, yeah, that is that. Again, I'll spare my pro wrestling allusions. Love or it. Whatever, but there's certain things that like are themed out at certain times of year. The camp prep one may feel like a camp session. It may be, yeah, like, you know, thematic and on point. And that was one of my favorite things. So I grew up as the son of a children's minister, and to get my mom would get her VBS workers ready by having a one night mini VBS. Love for it. The leaders. It was themed. She was in costume. They did a couple of the songs. The refreshments were on point. And that was the get ready meeting for VBS that was fully on theme. Because, yeah, of course the VBS get ready meeting was a party.
Right.
But for you, that may be the camp meeting, not the parent, yeah, symposium meeting, versus the parent connect. Like, I know that for parent partner, one of the things that you did early in this year was to create stuff that's still available as a cupcake and connect time, that the, yeah, whole function of it was for parents to connect over the fact that, like, middle schoolers are hard, right? Mm-hmm. And the small group leaders are in the room. And so it becomes this like, get to know your small group leader, get to know the other parents of the students that are in your small group. So that way, when they come home with stories about Ryland, they're like, no, I'll call Debbie. We'll sort, yeah, it out. Because if they don't know, then it feels really weird of like, who is this kid that's antagonizing my daughter? And it's like, oh, they have a little, yeah, you know, a little flirty thing going on or whatever.
Yeah,
it's,
absolutely.
It helps.
Yeah. So, by the way, you mentioned Cupcakes and Connect. That's part of Parent Partner. Yeah. And so that is our resource, yeah, that we have.
It's the weekly, it's the monthly, it's the resourcing, yep, it's the discipleship.
Yeah. And, yeah, if you've never checked out, lifeway.com/parent partner is where you can find more information about that. But if you want that Cupcake and Connect,
yeah,
parent meeting guide, so the whole concept of that is to connect your new students,
yeah,
with leaders. And so, but more than anything, it's a time to connect with those parents.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for something like that, email me chad.higgins@lifeway.com and I will shoot you that.
Yeah.
I'd love to give you that free resource. But The other thing that I would say about these parent meetings along the way for yourself is understanding who you are.
Yeah.
I think for a lot of youth pastors, there is this like maybe even fear of hosting. I know a lot of youth pastors, even listening, are younger, in your 20s. You don't have children.
I'm not a parent.
Correct.
Let alone a parent of a teenager.
Right.
So how am I going to host a parent meeting?
Correct. And so the thing that I would remind each of us is this. Your expertise is not in being a parent. And so hosting a
Will you say that one more time? I think folks need to really hear that.
Yeah, your expertise is not in being a parent. And so the thing that you are is you're a minister or pastor. Mm. And so the thing that we want to help and come alongside parents with is that ministry aspect. Hopefully for you, for our ministers listening, what you are an expert in is discipleship. Hopefully you are. Okay. So the concept that we want to come alongside parents in is that, is how do we help parents disciple their kids? And so you get to come alongside that. You're not trying to play expert parent role, but you're inviting them into, here's what we do as a church. Yeah. Here's what it looks like for us to make disciples. And so we want that to be carried out inside of the home.
Well, and I think one of the things too, is you are culture translator for the students, like you're ambassador on behalf of both them and the student. But again, you are the vision connector to the larger picture of the church. Yeah. And I think if I can say it bluntly, this event is not about them liking you more.
Yeah.
We talked about that earlier. Like, it's not about them liking you more. If they trust your kids with you on a weekly or semi-weekly basis, they already like you at some level. That's like one of the highest forms of trust. If their kid went to camp with you, you don't have to like win them over.
Right.
You've already won. They want to see where you're going to go next. They want to journey with you. This is not a persuade of like, see guys, I know what I'm talking about. They're already with you. That you want to be led or connected to where the rest of the church might serve and connect with them.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I see a lot of people get in trouble with is you'll be 22 years old, you'll stand in front of a room and tell them this is what you need to be doing with your kid.
This is what's hard about parenting.
Yeah, right.
So please don't. Yeah.
Now, I think there's a great place to bring an expert in.
Yep.
Or sometimes not even like what we consider an expert. And if you have families in your church of parents that their kids are older and everybody else looks to them as this like sage advice giver.
If the Higgins did a good job, have them come share the secrets.
Exactly. Yeah, give them space. That's going to automatically win a lot of respect for you in that. And it brings the church together.
Yeah.
And I think that those are great things. But that goes back to this understanding, what is my purpose?
Yeah.
Who am I in this conversation and hosting this meeting?
Where does student ministry fit into the larger picture of the church?
All of these questions. You know, I think for so long, parent ministry has been this just, they're a piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, we've got to make sure that we get them information.
They're left in the box. How do we reattach them?
I think that is such poor parent ministry. Just to be very blunt, it is a side.
It's another layer of consumer for the student ministry.
Yes. You're just informing parents to be a part of it, and you're not actually ministering to the parent.
Yeah.
I think there's—
Here's more ways we want to take your kids away or spend money doing. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that there's so many good ways to really minister to families inside the church. And I think that youth ministers have a unique opportunity. Like you said, these parents trust this person with the most valuable thing in their life.
Yeah. That's not nothing. That's something very real.
And so it's like, how do we use that relationship to help bring that mom and dad closer to the church, closer to the Lord, all of these things that are so good.
Yeah.
And I think if we waste the opportunity in those times, once a quarter, once a month, even once a year, that you do these things just to stand up and give the information to the thing that you have next for their kid, No offense, but why would they ever want to come?
Right. You're going to get one of those meetings and then
it's going to be frustrated. Yeah. And no, you're going to, because I've been there, you're going to blame the problem on them.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, my parents never show up.
Yeah.
Well, you haven't really given them a reason to.
Yeah.
What
did you invite them to?
Yeah.
Was it your party or was it their party?
Yeah. And really you just wanted them there, if we're going to be honest, to make sure that they got their kids to your event.
Yeah.
Because that's all you wanted in the first place. And so when we start to position our heart and our mind in this idea of how do I really minister to my parents? How do I care for them? And then we start thinking through things like, what's a good time for this event?
Yeah.
Right? Man, maybe it's not asking for another night of the week.
Maybe we partner with the small groups and adult small group class that fits the 30 to 57-year-olds and say, what's a fifth Sunday you could take off?
Yeah.
We'll take them. And youth will be youth, and we'll run this meeting during then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or running it. I'm speaking at an event tonight.
Yeah. It's a midweek event. Yeah, yeah.
At a church, I'm hosting their parent meeting, and the youth pastor, at the exact same time they're doing their normal Wednesday night students, their parents are in the other room, and we're going to be walking through. I'm giving them practical examples of how to disciple their kid tonight. Yeah. And so I think that's such a great idea because you're not asking another time of the week. You're just saying, you've already dropped your kid off.
Right.
Just stay here.
We'll feed you. We got food. Yeah. Hang around.
And then once your kid's done, you're going to be done and you're out of here. And
we'll do that 3 times a year.
Yeah.
Great.
And so what you're doing in those spaces is you're trying to really minister to parents and what helps them and fits with them. I think if this is truly such an important piece of the puzzle, which it is, to the longevity of faith in these students' lives, we have to invest in families well.
Yeah.
And to do that, it takes energy, it takes time, and it takes thoughtfulness.
Yeah.
Snap.